G'day, Josh. How are you?
Morning, guys. Well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Great to chat again. Right. Gee, there's been some fallout from the Sydney Derby last Saturday afternoon. Really professional performance from the Swans to win that by 29 points. But I guess the big talking point was certainly the Callum Brown bump on Tom McCartan and him getting 3 weeks for it. What did you make of the incident overall?
Oh, look, I find it really, really hard at the moment to make much of it. Like, watching it in real time and in real speed, you know, the ball sort of bounces back on itself. They're both 50-50 chance to get the ball at one point. It bounces back to Tom McCartan and he runs through it. It's bloody hard to know, you know, what the MRI... Actually, it's not, because Tom McCartan gets knocked out and you know there's going to be weeks on the end of it, but I must admit, when I saw it in real time, I thought, gee, what is he meant to sort of do there, apart from pull up and pull out of the contest and try and tackle? But a split second before that, it's a 50-50 contest. It just happens to be the ball bounces on its end back to Tom. So it's a tough one at the moment. I think there's guys getting rubbed out that 12 months ago certainly wouldn't. I'm not saying this is one, but maybe in certain other cases.
It's like that, Josh. Biddo and I actually spoke about it on the program the other night. As much as you hate seeing someone on the end of it, when you see an incident like that, you go, well, what's he supposed to do? And I think 3 weeks is very harsh. And in fact, I'd probably be okay if it was a 1 week suspension. But even then, it's on the higher side. But what are your thoughts around... And John Longmire spoke about this in a press conference early this week about having that red card, the send-off rule. Would that work, and would you be open to a massive change to your game like that?
Yeah, I think it would work. I think it works in most other sports all around the world. If that was to happen in a grand final, for example, and you've got a player down and that player continues on and plays the rest of the game, I think it makes sense to change that rule and bring that in. But I'm not sure you can sort of stamp out a lot of these incidents without changing the fabric of the game, which is sort of my concern in the long run. That, you know, a lot of these are sort of football acts where it's literally a hundredth of a second decision that you've got to try and stop or pull out. So, I'm not sure a red card or sending someone off during the game actually impacts the outcome of these contests. But I still think that there's not a bad rule to bring in, because what you want to eliminate is the unfootball acts and the dirty plays and you know, where there's malice in it, and guys getting rubbed out, you know, for playing the game. You know?
Josh, where's the balance here? Because I think we're seeing it in a number of sports where the commentary, the media, the commentators are old school players. So there's this whole, you know, you're threatening the way the game's been played over so many years versus, I don't think they're going to make a change here. I think the AFL has made a stand and they're not going to go backwards. So how does this balance somehow find middle ground?
Yeah, it's a good question, Clarkie. I'm not sure. I think on a whole, the game itself is like they've made rule changes and changed the game. Like it's changed, whilst you could argue significantly, but at the same time, not that much. The elements of the game that are still so important, like the contest and pressure and all that sort of stuff, are still the main KPIs, so to speak. And I think the game itself is in a fantastic position. It's great to watch. It's fast. I don't want to get too carried away in saying that it's ruining the game. But, I hope that we can find some middle ground there. I'm not sure how. I sort of agree with you that they've drawn a line in the sand and we're probably not going to come back. Maybe the players adjust and we sit back here in 12 months' time and or probably maybe a bit longer than that. It'll be interesting to see the suspension, how many players get suspended this year. I feel like it could be a record number, despite it being arguably cleaner than ever. But, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I hope it can sort of balance out and find some middle ground, and we still have the contest in the game. And there's obviously, because of that, there's going to be some incidents, which are just unfortunate. But as a player, you sort of, you understand that when you pull on the jersey and the boots.
So the Swans head west, a tricky match against Fremantle coming off that win against the Giants. But gee, they're in good shape, aren't they, Josh, the Swans? I mean, they made everything the Giants did just look difficult last Saturday afternoon. They're going to have to do the same again against Fremantle. How does this play out?
Yeah, completely agree. Look, I think I was watching that game last week, and gee, the Swans midfield at the moment is just so good and bats so deep. I don't think they get enough recognition in the wider sort of AFL community, how good that midfield is. Everyone talks about Port Adelaide's and Melbourne's, obviously, and Carlton's and Collingwood's. But I think the Swans is right up there, if not the number one in the comp at the moment. Not considering how deep they bat too. I mean, you've still got Parker out, ready to come back in. Callum Mills ready to come back in. It's just crazy how good that is. So I think they get the job done over there, albeit I think it'll be a tough contest, low scoring, the way Freo play. But I just think the class prevails in the end, the way that they're playing.
How do you reckon the Giants are going, Josh? I think they've lost two of their last three, and they take on Essendon, who are playing some good, tough footy at the moment.
Yeah, I think the Tom Green injury hurt them against the Swans. That's the big body in the midfield. But I think if he doesn't get up, they might struggle this week against the Bombers. It'll be a great game to watch. You know, both teams play a really fast, attacking brand of footy. Essendon, I think, are one of the top teams in scoring from stoppages. I think overall it'll be a high-scoring game. But I reckon the Bombers, you know, they just keep flying under the radar at the moment and keep notching up wins. And if they lose, they're only just losing. So it's certainly a game to watch. But as an outsider, I'm probably, as a bit of a roughie, I wouldn't mind a bit of money on the Bombers.
Okay. What about this game tonight? What a humdinger. Carlton and Melbourne, they met in that epic semi-final last year. The market can barely split them. The Demons are slight favourites. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I think, this is a must-win for Carlton, I reckon. It'll make it three on the trot if they don't. And all of a sudden, the pressure starts mounting on a club like that. We know what their supporters can be like, both in good times and bad. So, must-win for Carlton. I think, Melbourne, credit to them last week, got the job done over Geelong. The big asset for them was obviously Max Gawn in the ruck, and we know Geelong, are probably a little bit undersized in that area. Carlton, not so much, with Mark Pittenett and their midfield stocks. You've got Petrarca, Viney, Oliver, but then you've also got Cripps, Hewitt, Kennedy, and the likes there. So I reckon Carlton match Melbourne in the midfield, both in the ruck and on ground level. And therefore, I think that goes a long way to winning the game. I reckon they break the drought there tonight.
Should all the other sides be looking over their shoulders at Collingwood? They look like they've found their mojo.
They certainly do look like they found their mojo. They just got over the line last week, but they did it in fantastic fashion. Probably should have won by a lot more. They just looked in control of that game sort of after quarter time. They've got their mojo back, that's for sure. And then you add DeGoey back in the team. Tom Mitchell, was great to see. Lachie Sullivan, his first game. Just absolute credit to persistence and never giving up. Came on, kicked a goal with his first kick. Gee whiz, it was just electrifying. It just seemed electrifying in the stadium when that happened. 90,000 there.
Ever played a game with having a feed of Maccas before you ran out onto the field?
I haven't, no, but...
Man's got to eat, Loz.
Yeah, we've had a few. I mean, we've had a few games. I know during the COVID era, we had a few guys pull out because they were close contacts before the game, and we had to call up a reserves player that had had a night out the night before the game, which was actually known. It was known to the coach too, but we couldn't do anything about it. So, that was Ben Ronk back in 2021, I think. So that was pretty funny. But
they make
for good stories. That's it. I think you get the call up. It doesn't really matter. You put it behind you, and you're away. You go.
We've got our 30-year reunion of winning the 94 Premiership, and there was a story in the paper on the weekend about one of the players that didn't play on the day but was on the bench, about how he went out the night before and turned up at the game, six schooners, got a pass to go into the dressing shed to say good day to the boys and wish them the best. And the coach said, mate, your name's in the program for a bit of experience. Put the shirt on and run out with the team. So he runs out with the team through the tunnel, stands there for the national anthem. The boys that he's been on the drink with are looking down just going, how's this happening? And he was third up on stage to get his medal.
Yeah, good.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's funny, those stories. That's what makes good memories, aren't they?
Most definitely.
Good on you, Josh. Thanks,
Good on you, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the weekend.
Cheers, mate.